So, the place of prayer. Is prayer important in our work, in our day-to-day activities, in our lives? So, what is prayer? Prayer is not a magical formula for getting what we want, or rubbing a magic lamp, and getting three wishes from a genie. And it isn't reserved for special people, or special times, or special places. Prayer is talking to God. We believe that God created everyone to be in a relationship with him, and that he loves to hear from each one of us as often as possible, just like you might talk to a close family member. So we have the privilege of talking to God. You don't even need to be a Christian. God has made himself known to many who have reached out to him with an open heart. But why pray? In the Bible, in Psalm 139, the writer says, "You know everything I'm going to say before I start," the first sentence. If God knows what we are going to say, then why say it at all? There are several reasons why we might pray. These can include thanking God for what he has given us, praising God for who he is, asking God for help, or telling him that we are sorry and asking for forgiveness. Or we might simply want to tell God what's on our hearts. It used to be said, it's good to talk. It's also good to pray. In the Bible letter to Philippians, the writer Paul encourages us by saying in Philippians chapter 4 verse 6, "Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all he has done." Tell God what you need. Jesus himself prayed often. As followers of Jesus, we believe it's important to pray often. We're going to have a reading now from Luke chapter 18, verses 1 to 8, and Judy's going to come out and read that to us. Thank you.
If you've got one of the church Bibles, you will find the reading on page 1051. And we are going to be reading from Luke chapter 18, verses 1 to 8. Then Jesus told his disciples a parable to show them that they should always pray and not give up. He said, "In a certain town there was a judge who neither feared God nor cared what people thought. And there was a widow in that town who kept coming to him with the plea, 'Grant me justice against my adversary.' For some time he refused, but finally he said to himself, 'Even though I don't fear God, or care what people think, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will see that she gets justice, so that she won't eventually come and attack me.' And the Lord said, 'Listen to what the unjust judge says. And will not God bring about justice for his chosen ones who cry out to him day and night? Will he keep putting them off? I tell you, he will see that they get justice and quickly. However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth?"
Thank you. And the Lord will add his blessing to the reading of his word. Of course, this could be called the parable of the persistent widow. An unusual judge, because in Israel, judges knew that they were answerable to God for their judgments. In Isaiah 1, God accuses Israel of doing wrong, and so he tells them what to do. And he says in Isaiah chapter 1, verse 17, "Learn to do right, seek justice, defend the oppressed, take up the cause of the fatherless, plead the case of the widow." It makes a point by not comparing God to the unjust judge, but by drawing the contrast. Probably the woman was bringing a financial case to the judge, and he refused to listen because he was waiting for a bribe. She was too poor to pay, and persistence was her only weapon. If even a judge who does not honour the laws of God and man can be induced to act by the incessant appeals of a widow, how much more will God act to uphold his people when they cry to him? The parable demonstrates the need to always pray, for if even an unjust judge will eventually listen, God is much quicker to do so. There is a warning. Jesus says that when the Son of Man returns, how many will he find on the earth that will have faith? This looks forward to the time of his second coming. A period of spiritual decline and persecution is assumed, a time that will require perseverance, such as the widow demonstrated. But from the beginning of time, people have prayed. Adam and Eve's third son, Seth, has a son, and we are told in Genesis chapter 4, verse 26, at that time, people began to call on the name of the Lord. In all types of places, at all times, and in every situation, people have prayed. However, few people have made prayer a priority. Those who have stand out as bright lights in a dark world. Many have chosen to pray when it was convenient or when they were undergoing a time of great stress and trial. Yet it is clear from the reading we had that Jesus wants prayer to be a priority in our lives. So we are going to consider the place of prayer. We are going to see that God expects us to be in constant contact with him. Prayer must be a priority. This theme is repeated throughout the Bible. We saw it in Luke chapter 18, verse 1, the widow and the unjust judge. The disciples were encouraged to pray persistently. In Romans chapter 12, verse 12, we are told to be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 16 to 18, it says this: rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Pray continually. How do we do that? Some people are prayer warriors, and we need people like that. Others have a conversation with God. I think that Abraham and Moses were like that. Daniel was a very serious prayer, and he would go to his room, open the windows, and pray to God three times a day. As I said earlier, what did he pray when he was thrown to the lions? Was it help? The important thing is to remember that you are just talking to God like you would to anyone. Praying is basically expressing our thoughts to God, either silently or aloud. Let's look at various individuals who prayed. Abraham, or Abram as he was first called. In Genesis chapter 12, verses 7 to 8, it says this: the Lord appeared to Abram and said, to your offspring I will give this land. So he built an altar there to the Lord who had appeared to him. From there he went on toward the hills east of Bethel and pitched his tent, with Bethel on the west and Ai on the east. There he built an altar to the Lord and called on the name of the Lord. And then a bit later in Genesis chapter 13, verse 4, and where he had first built an altar, there Abraham called on the name of the Lord. In Genesis 13, verse 18, so Abraham went to live near the great trees of Mamre at Hebron, where he pitched his tents. There he built an altar to the Lord. So wherever he went, he was able to call and pray to the Lord. Abram, or Abraham as he was later called, established places to worship God in the land God had given him. So does praying require a special place? No, it doesn't. But a place away from normal distractions may be helpful as you talk to God. Moses, Exodus 33, verse 11. The Lord would speak to Moses face to face, as one speaks to a friend. Then Moses would return to the camp, but his young assistant, Joshua, son of Nun, did not leave the tent. And Moses had set up a tent of meeting outside the camp in the wilderness, and there he would pray or talk to God. But this verse tells us that the Lord spoke to Moses in the same way you would talk to a friend. Is that the kind of relationship we have with God? Is that the relationship we have with Jesus? and was David. The Psalms are filled with many references to David's prayer life. And here's part of one, Psalm 4, verse 1. Answer me when I call to you, my righteous God. Give me relief from my distress. Have mercy on me and hear my prayer. David is distressed, and so he calls on God to hear him. Psalm 5, verse 7. But I, by your great love, can come into your house in reverence. I bow down toward your holy temple. David is secure in the thought that he can come into God's presence, not because of his own righteousness, but because of God's love. Elijah. There was once a competition between a prophet of the Lord and the prophets of Baal. Elijah said to the people of Israel, "How long will you waver between two opinions? If the Lord is God, follow him. But if Baal is God, follow him." And this was the test. The prophets of Baal were to prepare a sacrifice and were to call on their God to answer by fire to take the sacrifice. If Baal were to answer by fire, then he was God. So the prophets called on Baal from the morning till midday, but there was no answer. Then they tried all sorts of means to get their God's attention, but there was no answer. Then Elijah built an altar to the Lord. He had a trench dug around it and got people to pour water on the offering on the wood of the altar until the trench was full of water. Then Elijah prayed. In 1 Kings chapter 18, verses 36 to 38, it says this. At the time of the sacrifice, the prophet Elijah stepped forward and prayed. Lord, the God of Abraham, Isaac and Israel, let it be known today that you are God in Israel and that I am your servant and have done all these things at your command. Answer me, Lord, answer me, so these people will know that you are Lord, you are God, and you are turning their hearts back again. Then the fire of the Lord fell and burned up the sacrifice, the wood and the stones in the soil, and also licked up the water in the trench. The Lord answers Elijah's prayer by fire, so the Lord was God. Daniel. What do we say about Daniel? Good old Daniel? I'd hope so. Daniel was a man of prayer. Daily he prayed three times, as the song goes. Because he was so good at his work, the king of Babylon planned to make Daniel his chief administrator and put him over the whole kingdom. The other administrators were jealous and tried to find fault with Daniel, but could find nothing. So they set a cunning trap. They appealed to the king's ego by saying the king should issue a decree that no one should pray to any god except to the king. If they did not pray to the king, then they would be thrown into the lion's den. Now, this sounds quite ridiculous, doesn't it? But the king agreed to it as a 30-day rule. What did Daniel do? In the book of Daniel, chapter 6, verse 10, it tells us this. Now, when Daniel learned that the decree had been published, he went home to his upstairs room where the windows opened toward Jerusalem. Three times a day he got down on his knees and prayed, giving thanks to his God, just as he had done before. Those that had got the decree signed, having seen Daniel praying, went back to the king and said to that Daniel paid no attention to the king or to his decree. And this was a lie, and the king knew it. Daniel was thrown to the hungry lions. According to Daniel, God sent an angel to shut the mouths of the lions. I wonder what the deal was for the lions. Were they told to wait because more would be coming? In the morning, Daniel was lifted out and there wasn't a single mark on him. Did Daniel pray for safety? Well, I think I know what he might have prayed. He might have said help to God that he was thrown in. But Daniel remained faithful to God, and God preserved him. And this was a witness to the king that there was only one true God, and it was of Daniel's integrity. Good old Daniel. Jesus, in Matthew chapter 14, verse 23, we read that Jesus went up on a mountainside by himself to pray. You can find several times when Jesus did this. Sometimes he would pray with his disciples. And then another time in the garden, in Matthew chapter 26, verses 36 to 39, it says this. Then Jesus went with his disciples to a place called Gethsemane, and he said to them, "Sit here while I go over there and pray." He took Peter and the two sons of Zebedee along with him and began to be sorrowful and troubled. Then he said to them, "My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. Stay here and keep watch with me." Going a little further, he fell with his face to the ground and prayed, "My Father, if it is possible, may this cup be taken from me, yet not as I will, but as you will." Jesus relied on prayer. If the Son of God had to pray, how much more should people like us pray? So those are some examples of people who prayed. Abraham makes a special place to worship and pray. Moses has a conversation with God's face to face. David's psalms reveal his heart and God's heart wherever he went. Elijah called on God so that the people would turn to God. Daniel, good old Daniel, prayed and trusted in God, even when thrown to the lions. Jesus also prayed to God. Did he need to, as he was so close to God? What we know is that he did pray, and it's an example to us. All these place prayer as something very important to them. Also, Jesus takes it for granted that his people are going to pray. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6, verses 5 and 6, he said, "And when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by others. Truly I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you." In what way will God reward us? Back in Matthew chapter 5, verses 3 to 12, which is the Beatitudes, Jesus says that heaven belongs to the poor in spirit, those that mourn will be comforted, the humble will inherit the earth, those that really want righteousness and justice will be satisfied, the merciful will have mercy, those that have pure hearts will see God, those that work for peace will be called children of God, and those that are persecuted for doing right will have the kingdom of heaven. God will bless you when people mock you and persecute you and lie about you and say all sorts of evil things against you because you are my followers. For a great reward awaits you in heaven. These things will happen to those who have trusted Jesus for their salvation. Is prayer a priority in our lives? It should be, for it is our lifeline to the Father. But only through Jesus. Jesus said in John chapter 14, verses 6 and 7, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you really knew me, you would know my Father as well. From now on you do know him and have seen him." Prayer is important in our work, in our day-to-day activities, in our lives. Does God hear the prayer of someone that doesn't belong to him, who isn't a Christian? Yes, he does. But what kind of prayer would that be? In 1 John chapter 5, verse 14 and 15, it says this: "This is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have what we asked of him." God doesn't want anyone to perish, to die in their sin. When a person turns from their sin and turns to God to ask to be saved, and they believe that God can save them, they are saved. The Father sent his own Son to be our Saviour. God's gift of righteousness is for us all, for all who choose to receive it. And then they will be victorious over sin and death because of Jesus. But the choice is ours. Perhaps the final word on prayer in Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all he has done. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds everything and anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. If you heard the first song that was played before we started, it was called Pray. You've got to pray just to make it today. It isn't easy, the life that we have, so we should pray.